Is education the next punk rock? Former drummer for Johnny Rotten, current educator Martin Atkins explains, yes, it is. Our activist of the week is also a drummer. His band is taking a stand for education in Wisconsin. We will check trending news in education, pay tribute to Howard Zinn, and Matt Damon's mom backs a story from The Onion? This is going to be a good one. Let's bust some pencils.
This is Busted Pencils Radio, fully leaded education talk. With Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Jed Hopkins. It's time to take a look at the top trending news stories in education.
Reintroducing endangered species back to the population, Jed.
Mm-hmm. It's important.
This is extremely important. Mm-hmm. In fact, we've seen it with lots of endangered species. The success rates of the reintroduction, particularly one I can think of, is the wolves in Yellowstone have done very well. Well, this now out of Cornell, Ithaca, has taken a group of people over the last 18 years that they have kept in a sanctuary and taught them how to think and thrive and have their own thoughts. And now 18 years later, they're about to start reintroducing them to society.
Dangerous. Has to be done very carefully.
It has to be done very carefully because it's been a long time since thinking individuals have roamed free in the streets of America.
Yeah.
At Busted Pencils, we're just excited by the whole idea of reintroducing people who think for themselves into the population.
And of course, we've got to thank the journalism of The Onion for bringing this to our attention.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom thinks about releasing well-adjusted humans into society.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
I think this article is tuning into some of the social societal trends that are affecting children's development, and it's very clever. You know, they say this new breed of person won't be allowed to view any media or look at technology.
Right.
And, you know, one of the points is there is that, and I know this quite sincerely as an early childhood development person, is that children's lives are changing very dramatically when it comes to technology. The number of hours young kids are spending in front of screens astonishes most people, but it's shown over and over again by studies, credible studies, that, you know, little kids are looking at screens for many hours a day when you add together TV and iPhones and computers and games and all the ways kids have access to screens. And the brain develops so much in the first 5 years, up to 90% of its adult size in the first 5 years. So there's not a question, really, that I think our brains are getting rewired based on the influence of technology, which should have been thoroughly researched before it started cascading into kids' lives to this extent, but that's not how things happen in the U.S. So it's a huge influence and way, you know, little understood, far too little understood to be having the level of influence it is. And then you add that with what's happening in our nation's schools and the sort of lockstep, narrowed curriculum, the lack of play and the arts and creativity and diminished recess and all the things that would, you know, create more of a whole child experience. And you put them together, like how kids spend time outside of school and how they spend time inside of school, and you've got a dramatically narrowed kind of life experience for our young people. And, you know, yeah, will it change how they develop, how they see the world, how they act in the world? Will they have less ability to reflect? Well, research already shows that. Less empathy, too much technology correlates with less empathy, correlates with being very distractible. Will they be able to think deeply or just jump from thing to thing? I think these are serious questions there. They can be funny when they're framed like this, but I think they probably indicate to us that we're really changing the human being in the ways that we're creating experiences for today's young people.
This is Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
He has gone from being the drummer in Johnny Rotten's Post Pistols Public Image Limited, Nine Inch Nails, and Ministry, to name a few, to being the department head of the music business program at SAE Institute in Chicago. Please welcome educator, author, punk rocker Martin Atkins to the show. Martin, we had you on the show about a year ago, and you introduced us to the concept of education being the next punk rock. Please, tell us, what did you mean by that?
Having experimented with at first punk rock and then post-punk which then eventually became industrial music, and experimenting with my own label and the different bands that I put together, I felt like there was an energy in punk that was lacking in education. And so, you know, music has gone through all of these revolutions. The engineering and the technology behind music and art has gone through all of these revolutions, as has the internet. Everything's changed except education. And what I've been trying to do is use that as my little mantra to inject whatever was interesting about punk. And I don't mean guitars and sniffing glue. We might need guitars in the classroom, but...
Well, as long as it's Elmer's glue, we're good.
Well, building models with glue, right?
Yeah, but not airplane glue.
No, right. All right.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. And of course, I referred to sniffing glue because it was the name of one of the Touchtone fanzines that was created. But how can I inject that kind of irreverence, creativity, and I guess most importantly, the energy of punk rock into the classroom?
So Martin Atkins was a former drummer. Well, you're never a former drummer. You're always a drummer, but drummed in Public Image Limited, did some work with Nine Inch Nails, other bands. So you were a punk rocker. Now you're the department head of a college in Chicago that teaches students and prepares students, at least in your department, for the music industry. So you've gone from punk rocker to educator. And so as you talk about that, I want the listener to understand that that's that frame of reference that you, Martin Atkins, are bringing. And so when you say it is the new punk rock, you lived punk rock. You were irreverent. You were playing with Elmer's glue, as we would say.
Building models.
I mean, so five years in the band with Johnny Rotten certainly helps. But it's interesting, you know, that you say, you know, back then I was a drummer in these bands, and now I'm an educator. Somebody sent me an interview from 1979 where I was arguing with John because we'd had a show postponed, and I felt that we were losing more money by not having a manager than we were saving by not having a manager, if that makes sense. And I just stopped in my tracks when I read this interview, because it seems like in 1979 I was trying to put some education into punk rock, and now I'm trying to put some punk rock into education.
The content of schooling, and you have children now, I have children, Jed's children have finished school, but we've experienced this kind of, you know,
malaise
of content and crap. And so when we talk about saying punk rock as content.
And energy, that's an important one.
And energy, it excites me, and it becomes a little bit dangerous. But that's good for education, isn't it?
It has to be. If you go back to music for a second, anything that we thought was dangerous is immediately boring to our children. So if we're in the classroom, it's not enough for me to talk about Johnny Rotten, because none of my students have a clue. Well, some of them understand who he was and who the Sex Pistols are, or they might wear a Ramones t-shirt, not even knowing that that's a band. They just like the logo. So we've got to inject the energy of punk, not the reality of it, if you like, not the nostalgia of it. So there's a punk saying, you know, we were all massively technically proficient when I was a kid. I used to play drums all the time. So when punk came along, it was the antithesis of that. It was, here's a chord, here's another chord, now start a band. And we fall into this trap as educators where we think people need a four-year degree before they can, you know, pick up a paintbrush or twiddle with some technology. Whereas the reality is that if you just throw people in a room with the technology or with the thing that you think needs a level of expertise, you might be surprised with some naive originality at a different viewpoint before students are taught the correct viewpoint.
There's another side of the of a punk rock attitude, and I was interested in this question for you, Martin, particularly if I look at some of the punk bands today, they've got a heavy political tone and message in the music that they're singing. It's anti-establishment. Is that also part of what you see as punk rock is education, that kind of anti-establishment, politically in your face type of stuff?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I think it's questioning the status quo all the time. And I think, you know, I think one thing that runs parallel with the students I have now, you know, and I have 18 to 25 year olds, I guess you call them millennials, is a deep caring of things outside of themselves. You know, they want to succeed, but they're also looking at the planet and other people on the planet. And I think that runs parallel to the things we used to think about back then. And, you know, in the late 70s, I think that came out as a political viewpoint, rock against racism, all of that stuff. So everything felt like a crusade.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things for me, I tend to move punk rock lyrics, and when I teach history, particularly there's tons of songs that are really reflective of history, but there's some great punk rock lyrics that help me teach history, because students, and kind of as you just said, they wear a Ramon shirt and just like it because of the way it looks, they'll go, I never knew that's what that song was talking about, because there's a nice political historical perspective that students just thought was a catchy tune.
Wow, it's all really interesting, isn't it?
I really like what Martin's saying. I see what Martin's saying as something along the lines of the idea that human beings are really astonishing. We are really astonishing things, but we forget that, you know. And punk rock to me was a space where people came together and astonished each other. With very little, apparently, you know, but it just goes to show that we are actually quite deep, really, once given the chance to show it. And education is lacking that kind of space where we can be astonishing for each other.
You know, the more I learn about education, you know, I learn about things that I'd like to change, but I also learn about things about the role of self-esteem in education, mm-hmm. the impact of a living in a violent neighborhood, mm-hmm. and the impact that can have on your short-term memory, and it all comes back to this touchstone of respect and waiting to be astonished by a student, rather than saying, well, this student isn't astonishing. It's like, well, okay, well, am I doing that's failing to allow them to astonish me?
Exactly.
You know, so there's a classroom, but it's also a theater.
Yeah.
It's also a room where you can make the rules and let things happen that you can increasingly design to have a result. So, you know, on stage with Killing Joke, they would experiment with tempo, and they found that rather than just a really fast tempo, you know, the thing that got the crowd the most agitated was pulling the tempo back to this. So you're almost like, you can imagine pulling a horse and just like spittle running out of the horse's mouth as it chomps on the bridle, and the energy of just holding the horse back, creating more energy in the end, you know. And it's up to us as educators to set the tone and create an environment that is different than has been known before. And it's difficult. It's difficult. I don't know what's going on where you are, but Chicago, it's a war zone.
Well, it's a war zone for education, and it's a war zone, as you refer back to one of the parts, I think that's, you know, extremely important to point out, the violence and its effect on students and how they come into your classroom, that they can express, letting them being astonishing. Instead, we're prescribing, over-prescribing. I love hearing, though, you talk about, though, these things that you're witnessing, because Jed and I, as professional educators, will, of course, talk really boringly and use really big, stupid words to express these things. And so the way you're coming at this is always impressive to me.
Well, thank you. I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, I used to say back in the day that there's no need to be sitting outside of EMI or any major record label throwing stones at the windows, you know, and that's what a lot of punks did. but I always tried to be inside the building at first, using the telephones for international phone calls and then sending faxes to confirm shows and being more of a disruptor than just standing outside screening. And so now I'm inside education, and you can start to see what a huge problem it is. And, you know, I don't think there's one solution. I think there has to be thousands of solutions. It's not an easy business to be in. I think anybody who tries to make it easier by ironing out all of the inconsistencies from one end, but the glorious differences on the other end, doesn't know what this business is about.
Tim used the phrase, he called us professional educators. I hate that phrase, really. I hate it because it seems to imply that our job is to articulate what is education. What is education? But the better question is really, where is education? Where is it? And it's all over the place. It's in punk rock. How about that? It's there. So we've got to look at that. And it's not just in punk rock either, obviously. You know, it's in a lot of places. And we've just got to be mindful of where it is. You know, it's not necessarily in schools, unfortunately. It should be in schools. It should be predominantly in schools, but it isn't.
And it also, with a great degree of difficulty, when the light bulb goes off, it's completely at a completely different time for every single individual.
Right.
You know, you hope that like 6 weeks in to a 16-month program, everybody gets it, and it's like, this isn't really a school. It is, because we're accredited, but it isn't, but it is, but let's go. Isn't this crazy?
Yeah.
But I had one student, it was like 2 weeks before the end of the 16 months, and the light bulb went off. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know.
It's full of surprises, right?
Yeah.
And that's why it can't be managed.
It can't be managed, and it's surprising. It's jarring. It jolts you. It's punk rock. Education is the next punk rock, or education should be the next punk rock, and punk rock and education should always be together, along with Busted Pencils and Martin Atkins should always be together.
Absolutely.
How lovely. You said something really interesting there.
You did?
It can't be managed.
Jed said that.
It wasn't me.
But,
and I don't think you're professional educators. I think you're unprofessional educators.
Well, thanks, Martin.
I think that's exactly one of the scenarios we run through in the management class. I asked the students, do you want to manage an artist that's punctual, smells nice, and is really polite? And they're like, well, yeah, you know, because it's going to be a pain to have to round up an artist who's late, needs a shower, and has to be apologized for. Except that, you know, unfortunately and inconveniently, the artists who delight us the most and intrigue us the most very often aren't convenient, punctual, polite, and they don't always smell nice.
And you should know, Martin.
Exactly. So I think that, you know, if we look at the qualities of some of the most intriguing punk rock, any rock, music stars or actors or creative people, you know, I think we should be prepared to accept those qualities in our students and not have that be the be-all, end-all of acceptability to a program or their chances of succeeding in it.
Well, that's it. So let's be prepared. Let's take the unexpected. Let's take the unwashed, the unworthy, and those who smell bad and get up late and recognize that, you know what, that is punk rock and that is education. But Martin Atkins, truly, you are a part of Busted Pencils, and we want to thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you. I love talking to you guys. Anytime.
Keep busting those pencils, man.
This is Busted Pencils Radio. Fully leaded education talk.
Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's policies turned his state into the epicenter for the battle to save education. Our activist of the week is a drummer for the band If I Had a Hi-Fi. He fights that fight through music with his organization Unintimidated. Welcome to the show, DJ Hostetler. We just talked to Martin Atkins about education being the next punk rock. What is your take on education being the next punk rock?
Well, it's that people in power don't want people to be educated. I mean, that pretty much sums it up right there. Punk rock was education for a lot of people in the 70s when it got started, and now let's flip the script. You know, education is just as punk rock because it allows people to, you know, do things themselves and set their own destinies.
I think Martin would approve of that answer.
I think it's a very
actually,
cool
like
answer.
That. Yeah,
very
my
cool
goodness. Answer. Way to be concise and right to the point there. Yeah. I mean, you're supposed to blabber on for a couple minutes. So DJ, so thinking about that, though, you know, we want to feature the work that you guys are doing, musicians. So it's organizer of Unintimidated Wisconsin Musicians Against Scott Walker. What the hell you guys got against Scott Walker?
What don't we have would be a more concise question. We've got against him everything that he's been doing to strip education away from the state, to strip women's rights out of the state, to screw working class people, and to screw unions, and to screw the environment. And he's basically... He's waving his stuff around everywhere and screwing everything that moves, and we're here trying to at least let people know that there are people that are PO'd about it, if nothing else.
And that's what I really like about your project, because you bring it back, and I know we're an education talk show and we like to feature on the
sure.
punk rock side, but people come back to this and say, but I mean, you are taking up the reins and saying, look, there's an educational aspect, throwing punk rock back to its roots, which is political education particularly,
mm-hmm.
you know, and bringing up some of that interest and reminding people that, hey, pay attention. When I look at one of the articles you were featured in, you talked about the fact that one of the things that you think that this project can do is that at least be on record that there were people testifying at this moment in time that crappy shit was actually happening.
Exactly. It's a document for, you know, and maybe this is a little pie in the sky, but it's a kind of historical document so that when people look back and say, what the hell was Wisconsin thinking when this, what I hope and what I'm sure you hope will hopefully be a blip in Wisconsin's progressive history overall, we can at least point back and say, no, you see, there were people that were upset. There were, you know, there's the record of everybody marching in Madison 5 years ago. There's this record of really angry punk rock that that was out there actually trying to give a voice to the frustrations that everybody was feeling, which is something that's I feel has been missing from a lot of punk rock in the last 10, 20 years. When I think back to the Bush years, I could maybe count one or two angry anti-Bush rock songs on my hand. Whereas, you know, back in the early 80s, when everybody was pissed off at Reagan, like you couldn't throw a dead cat in a club without hitting a, you know, politically active punk band.
Right.
So it's kind of hoping to bring things back to that. You could listen to music and get something more out of it than just, you know, dancing or whatever.
Just so people understand, you've been involved in this. I mean, since Act 10, you had a band mm-hmm. called If I Had a Hi-Fi, and you released a signal. You sent out a signal by releasing a single called Imperial Walker. So, I mean, you, DJ, have kind of been involved with this Walker and bringing punk rock to the front to protest against what Walker was doing with his Act 10 dismantling of the public unions, dismantling teachers. I mean, talk about that song and what pushed you in that direction. Had you been actively writing conscientious political punk rock, or did Act 10 move you?
You know, the majority of If I Had a Hi-Fi's song lyrics are kind of, you know, like nerdy stuff that that we like to just kind of share with people and say, this is really cool. Or we've you know, been really fascinated by true crime in the past, or we've written a lot of songs about Wisconsin. Like years ago, we wrote a song about Dr. Evermore's sculpture garden called Doubting Thomas Telescope. So we've always had a deep vein of Wisconsinism in the band, And when Act 10 came down, I was kind of watching all the protests unfold via social media while I was stuck at my desk at work, feeling really powerless. You know, like I'm stuck in my, you know, my wage slave labor right now. I can't get away to go voice my opposition right now, which I eventually, a couple weekends here or there, I managed to get out there. But at the time, it was a very similar feeling to what Tony, the other coordinator behind Unintimidated, and I were feeling earlier this year, or early last year, I guess I should say, when Walker was gearing up for his presidential run. Just in both situations, I felt really powerless, and I felt that just yelling on Facebook and hitting share and going about my day, you know, that's a great short-term diffuser that a lot of people kind of use as a little bit of a social media electronic opiate.
Right.
And I'm just, like, in both cases, I wanted to do something more that I, you know, felt in control of, you know, like, I'm not a politician, I'm not someone who's really comfortable going out and canvassing and knocking on doors, but I'm really good at getting into a studio and playing drums and screaming a lot. So let's do that. And at the time we raised, we raised like $500-$600 for Progressives United, which we, sent over to Russ Feingold right away. This time we wanted to raise money for Planned Parenthood, some soup kitchens in Milwaukee. We actually did a show in Madison where the funds from the door were split between Planned Parenthood and the TAA, the Teacher Assistant Association at UW-Madison. So we've gotten a little bit of help for education in that respect.
I'm sensing that there's a kind of a punk rock community, and
community is a good way. That's a really big word for us. Honestly, I feel like not to toot my own horn a bunch, but I feel like one thing that our band has done is to build a pretty active punk rock community just in our immediate circle of like-minded bands.
Unintimidated, Wisconsin musicians against Scott Walker, and it sounds like now it's turning into punk rock musicians against all idiot conservatives that are doing stupid things to education, to women, you name it. If I'm listening right now and I want to find out more, I want to buy the DVD or the CD, where do I go?
Unintimidatedscottwalker.org is the best place to start. That'll point you toward our Bandcamp where you can either download the MP3s or order the DVD of the videos of the band's recording and the zine with all the lyrics, the propaganda, and a quite risque centerfold of Scott Walker, I'm going to warn you.
Well, DJ Hostetler, thank you so much for your time, and keep the punk rock going, and thanks for making it educational and political again, because God knows we need it.
Keep thank busting you, those pencils, DJ.
This is Busted Pencils Radio, fully leaded education talk.
I doubt he ever had a safety pin through his nose, but nonetheless, his message is often pretty punk rock. Here's our weekly tribute to the legendary Howard Zinn.
There is no flag large enough to cover the shame of killing innocent people.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Also, log on to BustedPencils.com to keep up with trending news, hear parts of the show, and nominate an activist of the week. For Jed Hopkins, I'm Tim Slecker, and thanks for Busting Pencils.